Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of Fandom Access. I, as always, am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. And look, we have a co-host here already. Yay.
Hey.
We have both co-hosts here already.
Yep.
Good evening,
you guys.
Ladies.
Hello.
How are you? Everybody
I'm
doing
good.
Well?
What about you?
Good, good.
I'm pretty good.
Good.
Pretty good. About as good as can be expected, I guess. You know,
yes.
As we are now in week 13 of working from home.
Don't remind me.
Yeah. And with not a ton on TV, right? We're going to have another short show this week.
Right, right.
Yep.
Right. Well,
yeah.
I guess we had said that we were going to really quick talk about the Killing Eve season finale since wasn't here last week and you didn't really talk about
it.
So we don't got to take long
Go
on
for it.
But
we'll take a few minutes.
But you want to go first? You can go first.
So after watching that episode and thinking about it, I feel like you and I discussed a couple times that this might not be our season and maybe not a whole lot happened in the early part of the season, but I kind of like how it ended up. And I feel like, you know, like stuff did happen towards the end. It was just maybe a long time coming. I definitely think Eve's storyline is kind of not as interesting as where Villanelle went finally.
Yeah.
So I'll hold some more thoughts until you, what did you think about it?
Well, no, yeah, I agree. A lot of stuff, finally did happen in the finale. And we've talked about kind of how Carolyn's, story has also been, more interesting than Eve's this
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
She is horrible. Like when she tells her daughter to get out, she's not a nice person, but, I really liked the whole, like, confrontation. I mean, I kept hoping she wouldn't kill Constantine. I wasn't entirely sure with this show. I mean, I kind of felt like she wouldn't, but you can never be 100% sure in this show. But I liked the way it went down. I'd also like to know more about kind of their past and if he really is Kenny's father, but I guess we might not know. One thing, though, I did want to kind of mention when I was reading, skimming over one of the recaps I had forgotten about, they seem to think that perhaps Constantine had done something to Dasha in the hospital. I wasn't sure if he did or not, or if she just was dying anyway. It wasn't really clear, and I'm not remembering thinking back to it. Do you remember specifically if he did anything?
I believe he squeezed her medicine. Like he did something with the medicine that was going into her arm. And you know, I was watching it, and I was like, "Oh, I think Constantine just did that. I should rewind and check it." And then I was like, "No, I don't really care that much." Like
I think she
she's
was
gone.
Dying anyway. To be honest, I don't
yeah,
think it
she was
really
dying anyway. I mean, she was kind of an interesting side trip this year, but it was like time for her to go, right?
Yeah.
And anyone who, you know, I mean, after what she did to Eve's husband, she has to go as a character on this show, right?
Yeah.
I ended up not rewinding it, but I feel certain that I saw him do that to Dasha. He killed her.
Okay. I wasn't sure what he did. I couldn't remember. All right. I just lost what I was going to say. It just went right out the window.
Sorry.
I know. I had mentioned to you about this earlier in text. I remember a conversation between Constantine and Carolyn earlier in the season whenever she was asking him about Kenny being dead, and he had admitted that he talked to him that day. And that Kenny had asked him if he was his father, and he didn't answer them. They were, like, in the car when this happened. And so that's why I was kind of confused that when she found out about him being on the rooftop, I thought she already knew that, but maybe it was supposed to be a different day and a different conversation. I wasn't entirely sure. So But
I don't understand what you're saying there.
Earlier in the season,
because someone's yelling outside my. It's not because of you. Someone's yelling outside my window.
Oh, okay, sorry. No. At one point, and I thought maybe it was when she made him get in her car. I can't remember, but I think they were in a car. She was talking to him and mad at him because, and he had said that he talked to Kenny. She was trying to find out what happened, and he admitted that he had talked to Kenny. And she asked what he said, and he said that he asked if he was his father, and I think he said he didn't answer him, or at least he really didn't tell him one way or another. I had thought, from what I understood, that had actually happened the day he died. I don't know if maybe I misunderstood, and that wasn't part of the same conversation, because whenever she was upset, found out he was on the roof, I had taken it to understand that, like, he had already, like, she already knew he talked to him that day. So I don't know. Somewhere in there, I misunderstood something, I guess.
Yeah, because Carolyn knew that they'd been talking on the phone, and right, and was like, "Why were you talking to Kenny?" And he says, "Oh, because
I can't remember.
She knew from Kenny's call log that he'd been in touch with.
He'd been in touch with
Constantine, and that's why she asked, you know, "Why are you talking to Kenny?" And he says, "Oh, because I didn't know if he was my son."
Okay, well, for whatever reason, I thought he talked to her in person and completely forgot it was over the phone. So that makes a little bit more sense. But I just kept remembering that and thinking, why didn't she know? But, I don't know. I had asked you this, too. I think I believe Constantine. I mean, it seems kind of like a cop-out for the writers, though. Oh, he backed up and fell. But whether or not that will come up again or could be something else, I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But speaking of Constantine,
that could be a lie. That could be a lie, right? But
yeah.
It doesn't
Although
mean
that
Constantine
doesn't mean he
killed him.
But
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you and I are like.
Yeah, I don't really think he killed him. I just think it's something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the other thing too that I found kind of interesting in this episode, I don't know. In a way, it was kind of sad, but in a way, it wasn't because it's like maybe she's finally, I don't know, learning herself a bit more. I found the ending interesting when he actually decided he was gonna take her with him to run away, and he's like, "Come on," and she's like, "No, you're not my family." And I don't know. That just kind of was like I feel like an important moment. And kind of, I guess, in her growth, too, an important moment, because she realizes maybe that, like, she really doesn't need him. I don't know. Villanelle's so screwed up. But in a way, it was sad, because I do feel she kind of looked at him like a father at times. So I don't know. But yeah, that was kind of how I felt about that. And, of course, we don't know exactly how everything is going to end. I doubt that they're, well, I don't know. They might have them separate for a while. They might have them come together for a while, but I can't see Eve going out with her and killing people, and I can't see her settling down with Eve and being a normal human being either. So, excuse me.
Yeah, so, you know, I did feel like, so a couple things there. So for starters, I did think near the end, so I've never always really seen Villanelle and Villanelle and Eve have this sort of weird like thing that draws them together, and for Eve I kind of like thought it was more about like fascination with like psychologically like how does Villanelle become that person.
She seems to really like her now, so I don't know.
Yeah, and so I always thought that maybe it was more on Villanelle's side. It was a little more stalkery, romantic kind of thing. But I do, by the end of the episode, I finally am starting to see them more as like a, like, not that they're destined to be together, but like a couple that really, I'm starting to see the attraction more between them.
I guess, but they're, I think, very bad for each other. Although I don't know.
They're very bad for each other, and Eve says it. At one point, Eve says it.
But I don't think it would. Yeah, no, they definitely say that it's not.
Although I do think maybe if they... Maybe if they would just have sex, they could get it out of their system and go on with their lives. I don't know. Eve hasn't really had any growth at all as a person, I kind of feel like.
No,
she's
just kind of boring this season. I mean, if we're honest.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas Villanelle sort of had I mean, do we call it tremendous growth? I don't know. But the way Villanelle this season, like, explored her family, granted she killed her mother, and she still is a psychopath. Like, she's a fundamentally, broken person and a psychopath. But she, for Villanelle this season, was sort of about family. And, you know, who is her family? And she's got some, like, do we call it professional growth, where she's like, I don't want to kill people anymore. I want to be, like, the manager.
I think maybe she just, we've talked about too, though, did she really want to be the manager, or does she really just want to not have people telling her what to do?
Hard to tell. Earlier in the season, I thought she just didn't want people to tell her what to do, and she also wanted to be recognized for her skill. But by the end of the season, and particularly this, like, last two episodes, like, maybe could she be actually not wanting to kill people anymore? Or do you think she just is tired of being taken advantage of and being used as, like, a frontline person?
I don't know. I kind of feel like, I said before, I think Villanelle is kind of searching for herself a little bit. And I think a lot of times, like, she, you know, we've talked about, like I said, even like how Constantine was sort of her father figure, and now she's acting like Eve is her family. She hasn't really had anyone. And I think that she's kind of, I don't know, right now, not sure what she's doing. I don't think she's never going to want to kill again. I think that she would, but I think that maybe she doesn't necessarily want, I guess, that to be her job, like that's what she's being made to do. You know what I mean? Like, I could see her killing people that annoy her, but I don't think she's ever going to completely quit killing people.
Yeah.
I don't think there'd be a show if she did. But, I don't know. I mean, could they – I'm kind of curious how it would go, like, if they kind of, you know, stayed with each other. I don't know that that's going to make a good season. I think it might be better if they just – left, and you know, but there's still going to be some kind of pull there, so it's really hard to tell how it'll go. All I know is Villanelle seemed happy last season, and then she shot her. So, you know, because I remember it was like she was all happy, and Eve was kind of with her and everything, and going doing what she wanted. But then it's like as soon as she didn't do exactly what she wanted, she flips out again. Let's just say she's not very stable. Just like with that girl that was sent there to, well, I think was eventually supposed to be going to kill Villanelle. Like, she, whether or not Villanelle intended to kill her from the beginning, I don't know. But she killed her because she snapped. And I think that if she tried to completely, like, live a normal life, I think that would still happen. I think she'd still be killing people. It's just my, I don't know, my take on it.
Yeah, because she's a psychopath. Yeah, she can't, like, not kill people. And you're right, as soon as it goes in one direction, then she just can't, like, not kill. I did kind of like the season. So, you know, even Villanelle was the main characters and everyone else was around them, and I felt like, so I really liked, we talked about this, how we really liked Carolyn's arc this season. And I feel like, you know, you talk about how she was so mean to her daughter and she's, like, not a nice person, but I liked their scenes together this season, how Carolyn was like, look, this is like who I am and how I act. And like
you
can't ask
it.
More. Well, it kind of surprises me because she's been Geraldine's mother her whole life. It's like, it's almost like Geraldine just met her and it's like, why are you like this? But
I don't think she wanted to accept all of it before.
Yeah. But the way Carolyn was like, this is how I am. And don't like, I can't give you any more than this. And then she kind of does try. But I do kind of like, I think by the end of the season, we really saw Carolyn's grief over losing Kenny, right? Like, she's been holding it in and holding it in.
I think she's definitely been holding it in, but she definitely is not a good mother, regardless of any of that.
Well,
is she partially doing it to keep her safe? I don't know. Does she partially do it to keep her away from her because she knows she'll hurt her? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And real quick before I guess we don't want to go on too long, but what do you think about, I forget the name of Constantine's daughter, his little 15-year-old daughter.
Irina, I think, or something like
Irina,
that.
Irina. So she, you know, last season she was just sort of almost like a prop, not like a prop, because she's really interesting and I like her with Villanelle, but the way like Villanelle kidnapped her to get at Constantine, right, and to get what she wanted, and the kid was sort of just like a, not really like
a character,
major part of the story. But I, you know, so this now things are really changing with that kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I mean, on the one hand, it seems kind of like, I mean, is it out of character for her to come? Like she runs over her mother's boyfriend, right? And then she kind of doesn't really get it. And the way Constantine is like, I'm leaving you. God, how many generations of parents have said to their kid, I'm making you spend the night in jail. It'll be good for you. And he basically says,
but I think
Serena,
he doesn't quite see the severity out of what
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. And I kind of love the way, like, Constantine is the father figure to Villanelle, and he basically used this poor, like, she was mentally ill, I guess, and, like, poor and abused person that, like, he and the 12 have turned into their attack dog.
Yeah.
And without even trying, his daughter is, like, turning out to be, like, Villanelle, maybe, right?
Yeah. He spent too much time with her. out taking care of his own daughter. But although I think to some extent something had to be wrong with this daughter to begin with. I mean, it's not like she can just go from being a normal teenager to suddenly killing her.
I mean,
although
definitely
she said at the beginning he was nice. She seemed to like him before, but I don't know. Maybe she thought if she was more like Villanelle, he'd care more, too. You don't know. Not that that's an excuse to murder somebody.
Jamie. That's really interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah, well, I don't know that she necessarily did it consciously. But,
you know,
people do things for approval, and he was always with her, and I know she was jealous of the time he spent with her, so maybe she thought, you know, I'll be more like her. And I think she also just thought it wasn't a big deal getting out of it because he's gotten her out of everything. Although I think in his mistake, he seemed to think that too. So that part of her thinking that may not be 100% her fault. But I don't think she's leaving anytime soon unless, like, Villanelle breaks her out or something, which could still happen.
Yeah.
But,
she could.
Maybe she'll train her. I actually could watch that. That could be interesting.
That could be. I've watched that.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say, like, at the beginning of the season, I wasn't really that into it, and I was kind of wondering, is this show, like, do they have, are they able to keep it going? And by the end, now I'm kind of excited for next season again.
Yeah, it was a good season. It just, like I said, it sort of felt like the episodes were all good, but they sort of felt like filler. Like, it kept feeling like it was building to something, and then it just kept never really hit that until the very last episode, and I feel like it would have been nice if there was more going on towards the beginning of the season, like you weren't waiting all season. But that didn't make it per se a bad season. It just wasn't as exciting, I guess, I feel like.
Well, each episode
in its own I still liked.
Yeah. And so we've been talking for like 15 or 20 minutes and we haven't really talked about it all. Like, all the other characters, I don't know, to me, had much more interesting things to do, and Eve was really in a rut.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, she's in a rut. Like, she, like, her whole life she got shot. She almost died. Her husband almost died. He doesn't want, like, her whole life is ruined. But seeing Sandra Oh wear, like, a filthy T-shirt and not brush her hair and be depressed and not really exciting. And then
that's
she didn't
the writer
really
problem though.
It is.
I mean, I don't think it's her in any way. I think they didn't really give her anything to do.
There was no like story to offset that. Like, there was like, she didn't really, like, I felt like her getting in with this group of like underground journalists or wherever they are, at the magazine, they could have done a lot more with that. And I feel like that was a little bit played more for comedy and less for like real potential in the storyline.
Right, but their interactions with Carolyn and then especially Villanelle, though, those scenes were funny in the episode.
They were fantastic,
So,
all right. So,
yeah, I think that's probably about it for that, can't really think of anything else.
Nope.
The only other thing I said that she kind of left Constantine, but let Constantine leave. It was kind of like, I'm not going with you. So I don't know what's going to happen on his front, but I guess we'll find out next year.
Yep. Next year, whenever
they decide to bring it back. Yeah. Well, we know
whenever shows are able to start production again.
Yeah, I don't. Some of the stuff I don't know how they're going to do. I should say I had, and I won't go into this long, but I was just going to say I had listened to some of the panels this weekend at ATX Festival, and they had kind of talked some about the future of television and what it looks like. Because they were saying, like, I mean, the main thing is they obviously have to keep actors safe, but, you know, some things, like they have that show All Rise, right? It takes place in, like, now, so they can kind of have them dealing with it. But certain shows, and this was specifically the producer Roswell was talking about, like, you know, if they can't kiss and they can't hug and they can't touch each other and they can't fight each other, like, that's the show. You know, like, they can't just have the characters never interact. So I don't know what the heck is going to happen, but I know it's rolling out in waves, so it's only going to be like so many productions, I guess, at a time, but it's going to, I don't know, it'll be a while. We'll have to find out how it goes.
Yep.
All right.
So, should we, you guys want to talk about Snowpiercer?
Sounds good.
Let's
I
talk
actually
about
started
it.
To like it more after these last two. Because I told you I kind of was, I don't want to say I didn't like it. I did like it. It's a good show. It's, you can tell it's like it's made beautiful in different ways. Like you can tell it's made really well. But I said before, I still feel like the dark tone of this, I don't know. I guess just because everybody's so miserable, I just for whatever reason find the show really depressing. But
everybody except the front.
Yeah, no, but I just mean in general watching it, like it gives me like this dark, horrible feeling. But after watching these last two and finally seeing more about what's going on and with the murders and everything, I want to see more. I'm kind of curious where it's going to go, though, now that they found the murderer. But go ahead. You guys go. I just wanted to kind of say that.
AJ, you've been silent while we talked about the other show. Jump in here.
Well, I kind of, yeah.
I take it you didn't feel like I did.
I kind of lost, like, this week I was like, okay, they found, like, the whole, I get, you know, they need a 10-episode season, they want a season two, that, you know, they need other stuff to extend it, because if it's just all about the tailies getting to the front, it's a 2-hour movie, which they've already done. And so, I don't know how I felt about, I mean, I figured out, I had a feeling, I actually took on Carol this week, about...
Hey, AJ, I'm just going to interrupt you. You have a little bit of, like, a muffly sound in your mic. Can you move it a little bit near your mouth or something?
How's that?
Perfect.
That's better.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think he was saying he started to see last week about that girl, which I kind of was wondering, too, the way she acted.
What's the whole name? LJ. I had suspicions about her last week, and while he's questioning her, I was like, she's totally... He's just the instrument. I was like, it's totally her. He's just the one that she was like, yeah, go kill this person for me. So I thought that was kind of obvious after a while. I will say Melanie's very complex. I can't get a handle on her. You know, it's like she wanted the killer found, but then she locks up Andre. I can only assume that she's, you know, doesn't want him harmed because she wants him in case anything else hits the fan.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I'm not as intrigued as I was. Melanie is really the only character I'm kind of curious about because she keeps going. She's back and forth. You know, I can't get a handle on her, what her motives are and what her end game is.
Yeah. So I agree with a lot of what you guys said. There are some things that I like and about it. I'm glad that the mystery, I'm surprised the mystery got wrapped up so quickly, if it really is wrapped up. Like, it appears to be solved. I like that it didn't drag on because it's kind of not that interesting, and I felt like the ending was not that compelling because it's pretty much just a straight-up I mean, that was a 2-hour movie, right? Like, Eric, a character have we ever even seen Eric before? Like, when the killer turns out to be someone that you don't even know and who isn't a character, that's
he's
like...
He's been there from the beginning. He just thought it was in the background.
But he's not a character, right?
Yeah.
Yes. But when, you know, when he turns out to not be so, I mean, that just kind of underscores the point that it doesn't really matter, and this murder was maybe just a mechanism for them to introduce the train, for us to see through Andre's eyes how he's discovering what's going on in the train, because I don't really care about Eric or I don't really care about LJ that much, and I really did not like the scene where she's playing the record and she's dancing while Andre like questions her,
because
it was just cheesy and stupid. It was cheesy and stupid, and I never believed for one minute that he was going to fall for that or agree that he wasn't going to totally like tell Melanie that she offered him, you know, guns to not turn her in. Yeah, I just thought that whole scene was stupid and like a bad film school scene. Like, I just thought it was a bad scene.
It was obvious. It was way too obvious when
they
did it.
I think the parts that I like better about the show, and it's hard to separate this show right now from what's going on in American society in the way that this show is about class. Like, more than once, Andre has referred to the train as a fortress to class or a monument to class or something like that. And the way, like, you know, Jinju in the cold open describes the train as a system and how systems resist change. And, you know, this is about an inherently, you know, a system that's inherently built to favor first class, and they can kill anyone they want and do whatever they want. And it remains to be seen if LJ will suffer any consequences from this. Like, you know, the good guy wound up in a draw, as we say in Jersey, and you know, it remains to be seen if LJ will wind up in a draw. Or, like, if she's tried by a jury of her peers in first class, there's no way she's going to be found guilty, right?
Right, yeah.
Well,
so,
there's no problem. There's no judicial system.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wilford is judge, jury, and executioner. She's guilty, she's going in the drawer, just like the other girl who was falsely accused.
I think,
but Nikki wasn't from first class.
No, but I think it will depend how much of a problem it will cause one way or another. Like, I think for Melanie, it's going to depend on if there'll be more of an uprising if she doesn't get if they don't get justice, or more of a problem from the first class if they do give justice. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's going to be based on whatever helps them the most is probably what's going to be decided, I would think. But I don't know.
Yeah.
It's kind of, in a way, I don't know. I kind of feel like the answer that it was just her doing it to feel something or whatever was really lame and like a dumb idea of the whole plot that we've been waiting to find out, because I kind of figured when they started saying about cannibals that like that was part of like the storyline, like that's how they're being fed all the time and how the first class, like, you know, maybe people would start disappearing or something. But I guess they just fed the people to the people because they had bodies and they disposed of them. Like, I don't even think the butcher even knew it. So that was kind of like, I don't know, a lot of it was kind of throwaway in the end. Like, it wasn't really important to, like, the whole murder, which was supposed to be the whole first part of the season, like, really, in a way, had no purpose. It's like you said, it was just to introduce us to this and to let us see how their classes are and everything else. And, yeah, I don't know. But probably the rest of it, I assume, is going to be them trying to overthrow the train.
I could be on to something actually about how this is going to be handled, because that could just be the setup for what's to come next. Because I get the feeling that third class and the Talians are going to group together. Because they made a point last week of saying that third class and the tail makes up 70% of the train. So you put those two classes together, and you're going to overtake the train. You get third and the tail together.
Go ahead.
No, Jamie, speak, please.
No, I was just going to say, the only thing that I question is, I'm thinking, could he have kept her secret? It was obviously he figured it out, and it was kind of her fault she slipped up. And I'm thinking, obviously, he's not on her side, but at the same time, some of it I think she's, like AJ said, you kind of don't know if she's really trying to keep the people alive or if she doesn't care. It's kind of back and forth. But I honestly kind of wonder what good it would do to tell people that, and I'm assuming there actually was a Mr. Wilfred or whatever his name is.
At one point, there had to be.
Yeah, there still could be technically. But I'm not sure that telling people that he's gone would really help anybody and wouldn't help their cause, because in my opinion, if everybody finds out that there's technically really nobody running it, I mean there is, but like there's not because he's gone, there'll be such chaos that everybody will just start killing everybody, I feel like. Like, I'm not sure that's actually going to help them. It would just make too much chaos. That's just my prediction anyway, which he probably will tell everybody. I'm just, you know.
So I think that she's a true believer in the way she has spoken to Andre about how the train is a system and everything is very carefully, you know, balanced on a thread to act perfectly, and the slightest thing that's out of line will throw our system off and humanity will die. I do believe she's committed to the future of humanity. And you know, class is the tool that they are kind of using to keep order on this train. And the way they keep second and third in line is by dangling this carrot in front of them all the time that could you earn your way up to a higher class, right?
Well, but everybody would probably get along better if everything was equal in the end, although that would be a long time.
But that's not how, I mean,
no.
That's the lesson of the show. That's not how society operates,
yeah,
right?
I'm just saying, I wonder
right.
Who's
going to
work?
Yeah.
Who's gonna do the work if everybody's first class? It's first class, I think it'll do it.
Well,
you know, if everybody's equal. I'm not saying it's right.
I guess
I'm just
it's
saying
true, because they can't pay them and stuff exactly if they
it's
don't.
Society.
Still, they don't have to treat people the way they do. I mean, they could have first class and second class, but not. Yeah, and then you're right. That is what the show's about. I was just saying, like, I would think that maybe she would realize there's a better way. But I guess that's the whole point of the show. So we'll find out.
But, I mean, it's very timely. This is exactly what we see with, like, the essential workers who have to work in the middle of COVID, while those of us who have a desk job are able to stay in our – I can stay in my house and work, and other people have to go to work in a store or, God forbid, a meatpacking plant and risk their lives every day, right? Like, AJ has to go to the store,
yeah, like
I stay at my desk.
Yeah.
it's interesting.
Class, though, in a way. You know, that's kind of based
But
nobody signed up for that. I mean, a lot of people that wanted to be doctors, I'm sure they're okay with it. I mean, they did that and they
mm-hmm.
want to save lives and they're willing to risk
no,
their
right.
And that's great,
yeah.
And they're heroes. But I'm sure
but
that there's also doctors that never expected to have to go out and risk their lives to that extent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
But this train operates in the same way that, like, you know, in a much worse way. This train is like one, to the next level. And I think that Melanie's keeping them all in line with class. And, like, it's very clear when Melanie calls Mr. Wilfred and it's like, I forget LJ's mother. I forget what the L stands for, her real name.
She's still really.
I don't know.
But the fear of
that she'd back down, yeah.
Fear of getting thrown out of first class is enormous, right? And she backs down immediately rather than risk any kind of, like, repercussion.
She totally called her bluff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're going to see a trial because she's a lawyer.
Yeah,
oh, that's
Jamie, to your point, to your point about Andre telling about the whole Wilfred mess, I think it has a huge impact because from the whole train, I think, people are going to feel differently about it, and people are going to be pissed off their lives, you know. I think the only ones that might be like, whatever, we're still in first class, it's first class. Second class might even be like, well, screw this shit down, you know. So I think it's a huge ordeal. So I get what Melanie did, what she did.
I'm just saying that I don't know, like, and granted, you know that if he gets out, he's going to tell people. I'm just saying that, like, thinking it through, like, I'm not sure that it would actually be a good thing because it's going to cause everybody, which I guess they want a revolt. So in that sense, I guess it is. I'm just saying, like, it's not going to, people are going to die. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a calm way
people
to do it, though,
die,
for sure. Yeah.
I think Andre blew it by saying to Melanie, all I want is to go back to the tail. And she says, you know, I can't let you. I mean, he had to know that Melanie could never let him go back to the tail.
I feel like
and,
he already
and
knew that when he said it. That's why I'm
could,
not sure why he accepted the drink. Sorry, I
could,
didn't add that. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I mean, why did he? Couldn't he have done maybe better for the people on the tail by saying, okay, give me the promotion to third class and I'll live in third class, and then he could, like, be feeding them information or working. Like, Andre's whole plan has his whole plan has always been to seed the front of the train with tailies through the apprenticeship program and send the kids up there. They grow up. And then, I mean, yeah, there's no way Melanie was ever going to let him go back after everything he's seen, right?
Yeah.
But then she couldn't let him stay in the front either because he figured it out that, that she's Mr. Wilford, maybe.
I think
I
if
do,
he was someone who would accept bribes, she could, because he would stay there and do what she wanted and not tell because he'd lose his place. But because he's not like that, she can't.
I do think it's a little bit ridiculous that no one else has figured it out for 7 years and he figures it out in like 4 days. I mean, granted,
well,
he, spends,
life, yeah.
he spends a lot more time with her than anyone else does, right?
Mm-hmm.
But nobody else is mm-hmm. a detective and keen like that. I mean, there's the other cops, but they're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Phil's about the other smart, you know, second smartest, and even she's not that bright.
Yeah.
She doesn't know that she's
so, you know,
the same woman that Melanie is.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, who is becoming my favorite character really quickly is Till. The break.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why the cops are called Breakmen, but she's becoming my favorite character. And, I mean, she's a very, like, well-fleshed-out and nuanced character. And her relationship with Jinju is interesting to me. I find it kind of ludicrous that I'm not that Eric didn't just kill her. Like, Eric has killed all these people, and then he doesn't kill his hostage when he, you know.
Yeah, I don't get why he even shot the steam. Like, I guess he thought maybe he could take some out with him when he died.
Well, how did he escape? Yeah, there's no way to escape. You can't hide. What are you going to hide on the train for the next, like, 25 years until, like, climate change happens, maybe?
Yeah.
I said the exact same thing.
Yeah, that's why I didn't know if he was just trying to, like, take some of them out before he went down, but I wasn't sure because I don't know
but
what
not,
doing
but
that
not
really
Jinju,
accomplished.
Right?
Yeah, you're right, but yeah, not her.
Well, I have an answer to that. I know why. I'm pretty sure Jinju was the only doctor on the train.
She can't die, so she has plot armor. She has plot armor. She can never be killed because she's the only doctor on the train.
Well, except for the coroner,
Well, we see that on Walking Dead, but on Walking Dead, all the doctors,
There has to be somebody.
Yeah, he's a mess.
There could be a doctor in tail, though, and we wouldn't even know. But go ahead.
I mean, Ginger's this person who sort of straddles it. Like, she's a second-class passenger. She's friends with Melanie, sort of. Like, she's a sushi chef and
she
a bartender.
Her,
and Melanie, you know, talks to her, but then she's sleeping with a third-class passenger who, like, Till doesn't even want anybody to know she's sleeping with second class, which is very interesting that the lower-class person doesn't want anyone to know they're dating a higher-class person.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's actually even more interesting to me is the fact that Till's third class and she's a breaker. You know, you would think that they'd want their authority figures to be at least second class.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I hadn't really thought that.
Well, no, because the wealthy set up the system, and so they don't want any checks on their behavior, maybe, right? Like, by making
the
them third class.
Too, and second. Although it may only be, like, the ones that dress fancy and take care of them that are second, though. We don't really know exactly who's in second. If, you know what I mean?
Well, it's almost no one, right? I mean, as AJ reminded us, the tailies in third are 70% of the train, and second and first are 30% of the train. And so, I don't know what, we don't know how much that is, but it's second is 20 and first is 10, or vice versa. We don't really know, right? But,
first class is 1%.
They're the 1%. Yep. They're the 1%. I mean, it's kind of interesting how, like, this art, like, class is artificial to a degree, right? And in a post-apocalyptic world where money has no meaning and like, how the idle rich still manage to control the whole system when money means nothing, and they appear to contribute no skills to the ongoing of the train. All they ever do is bitch that they paid a lot of money to get on this train. I paid a lot of money to get on this train. I want to talk to Mr. Wilford. Like, money has ceased to exist, right?
Yeah.
Except I guess maybe they own a lot of credits, like we saw where Eric left two first class like coins.
Yeah, there's
got
to be some kind of monetary system, I think, just to keep the place going. But you're right, in a sense, it really doesn't matter. Except
I'm sure their money resulted in the train even coming to be, at least in part. You know, I'm sure Wilford had a lot of investors.
Yeah.
These people in first class are those investors.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I got to say, that coroner who's totally crazy and creepy, he's kind of smart, though, to take the drugs and to also take the chips out of the people and to sell everything. That was kind of smart.
Well, yeah.
I thought that was funny that he did that. Oh, that was the one thing I wanted to ask you guys about that I was trying to figure out, and I meant to go back and listen to, and I didn't. And I don't remember her name, but when she swapped out for the sanitation, the thing that I didn't quite get is she obviously – yeah – The guys that were taking them in obviously knew that Josie was switching for one of the other workers. Is it just that they, I guess they usually swapped, but they just assumed she was somebody in sanitation? Because I was kind of confused why she had to, like, if they could, anybody could just swap, like, why they'd need the chips in the first place. So it must be like there's a certain group of them, I guess, that go back and forth and take turns, and they just didn't exactly, I guess you're supposed to infer that.
I mean, that wasn't really clear. You're right. It did seem like there was a regular sanitation crew that went up every day. And, you know, they're like, where is he? Oh, he's sick. I'll go instead. Okay, fine. Like you're right. Why have a regular crew if anyone can go who, like,
but
is she trained? Has
ship,
she worked
guess,
sanitation?
So.
Does she know? Like, it was a little, I mean, I didn't really think about it that much. And we know why it happened, because the plot demanded that it should happen that way, right?
Yeah, I also think that bandage thing around her arm would have fell off after she was squirted really hard with all that water. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Well, I can't believe that they wouldn't check that. They're so suspicious of the, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, in the way, I mean, they're so, anyway. You know, I'm interested to see what happens next. I mean, with the note that came, you know, that Andre's missing, I guess we will see a rescue-type situation, maybe not immediately next week, but certainly Josie's going to try to figure out what happened to him. And I think Till is going to try to find out what happened to him, right? Till's a good cop.
Yeah.
She's an
honest
cop.
Only one, if not the only one.
And I think she will make an effort to find him, maybe. And that could be interesting. And I'm kind of interested where it goes. Like, so I know Jimmy haven't seen the movie, but the movie, you know, for most of the 2 hours of the movie is the Taillys fighting their way to the front of the train.
Yeah, we know that coming.
I mean, I'm sure we'll see some sort of bloody conflict before the end of it, but I think the show in general is just basically a much longer and slower and cerebral struggle to get to the front of the train in a different way, right?
Yeah.
And then there's a whole other bunch of whack job shit that happens in the movie that we'll see if what happens in the show with that.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to mention really quick was whenever Leighton made his way into first class, obviously that was really funny when he's like taking everybody's food. That was hilarious. But the one thing I noticed that I thought was kind of strange is I'm curious, does first class not know everything they do to the Taillys, and maybe they just don't care as long as it's not bothering them?
Don't care.
Because he made, but I mean, he made a point of saying, like, to her, how many arms did you take? And I got the feeling when he said it, he was saying it like they didn't want them to know that. Maybe that's just the way I don't know, something about it. Like, I felt like he was saying it like, do you want me to tell them how many people you've hurt? Like, not necessarily that they care, but that they don't know. It's just kind of like if they don't have to know about it. Yeah, I don't know.
Well,
I understand what you're saying. I felt it was kind of like I felt like it was kind of him saying you owe me because of all the friggin' arms you've taken. Like he says how many it was. I mean, it's pretty clear to everybody there what he's talking about. They've taken 14 arms.
Yeah.
You know, think it was. I mean, you could be right too, but I felt like me how I took it was it was kind of like, you owe me. Just shut up and do what I say.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know. I really liked him eating their food. That was so funny.
I mean, so that whole scene, I mean, he was definitely, like, that was, like, they were doing good cop, bad cop, right? Like, Andre was bad cop, and he was totally playing into their stereotype that anybody from the tail is an animal, right? And he was behaving like an animal to throw them off base, but also to, like, put it in their face, like, this is what you think. And then Melanie was the good cop in that scene. So it was kind of interesting. I do think that they don't know and they don't care. Like, if you don't know, then you don't have to care, right? I mean, some of those people in first class are horrible, but presumably maybe some of them just, like, don't want to know about it. And then just like, you know, in many parts of the world where horrible things happen and people don't want to, you know about it or hear about it because it would, like, mess with your comfortable life. So that was an interesting scene. I have to agree with AJ that Melanie is turning out to be, while she seemed kind of robotic in the first couple episodes, she's becoming more interesting. I don't want to say sympathetic, but I guess I'm sympathetic in a way to her plight that she has to keep, like, the rest of humanity living against all odds. I think Jennifer Connelly is pretty good. Like, she is always good at this sort of, like, icy.
She's a good actress.
She is. And she plays these sort of, like, closed off icy women particularly well. Which is not a slam on her. She's just good at playing this character.
I want to comment on Melanie also. Like, one of the things that I was talking about is the scenes when she's not playing all hard and everything, like when she's just her downtime, like when she's in her MIT sweatshirt and she's talking to one of the old people who knows who she is, you know, and she's just being herself, you know. And, like, you know, he says to her, like, you can't do this on your own, you need help and everything, and she asks me to help kill the art. You know, it's those moments that I'm kind of, you know, that I'm like, that she's more humanized, you know what I mean? It's those moments where it's like, you know, it's like, it makes you wonder, is she just doing what she has to do to ensure the survival of the human race, like, she might not be happy with how she has to do it, but she's going to do what she has to do. That's, you know, it's like, she flips on a switch on and off depending on the situation. You see that from her, and she has no problem taking LJ, and then, you know, she goes and turns around and takes LJ and sticks on the door.
Although I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure that she had no problem doing that to LJ. You know, I mean, and I don't
she
mean just because she said, I'm not to LJ, not to LJ, to Andre. What she did to Andre, I think maybe she feels a little bad about
what she did
to Andre.
I would agree.
I mean, LJ,
that.
No. What happens to LJ? No. I mean, I think, so we don't see much of her personality, but I think Melanie, doesn't want anybody messing with her train. And you know, I mean, she probably doesn't like serial killers because nobody really does.
But Karen, that's my point. By doing that to Andre, whether she wants to or not, she's ensuring that her secret, whether he agrees to keep her secret or not, she's ensuring that he keeps the secret because he doesn't have a choice.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I feel like we're going into, like, a new, like, the show sort of closed a chapter, closed a door and opened a new door kind of thing going on. I hope.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. I mean, I feel like that's where we are right now. And I have some hope that the next chapter could be, good, a little bit better, maybe. this wasn't horrible, but it wasn't, you know, it was indeed slow. What I said earlier, Jamie, that you didn't hear me, is that I said, you know, like you, Jamie, I'm liking it better now that it's moving a little bit more.
Right, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, more is going on. Now, finally.
Yeah.
All right.
So
I think that's about it.
I think we did a pretty good job hitting all the points on that.
Before you go, Jamie, are you still watching Roswell, New Mexico?
Yes, although I did not watch this week's yet because I watched that today instead.
Next week is the season finale, so maybe on next week's podcast we can just spend a couple minutes talking about, like, overall the season, give it 5 minutes about what we thought about this season. I can't believe I still watch this show. It's like my guilty pleasure.
It is good, though, but yet there's so much political. There's a little more than I need of that crap, but it's it's interesting. It kind of makes you want to know what happened. It's soap opera-y.
I find much of the plot to be incomprehensible, and the politics at least I understand, but we'll talk about it next week. We'll see how it wraps up next week.
Yeah.
Looks like half the people might have died, right? So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we don't know. All right, and then the 21st, I know you guys said you weren't watching it probably, but Nosferatu does start back up. I guess originally supposed to start today, and they had like episodes with bonus stuff in, which is still on demand, but it had gotten moved forward. So, and I liked it this season. I mean, there's still flaws, but so far I've seen I've seen half. I think there's probably 10. But
You have screeners?
Yeah. Which I'm going to be putting a review up hopefully tomorrow. I'm enjoying it. Like I said, it still has some issues I think that we have talked about last season, but I found it enjoyable, and I got to be careful what I say, but but we can at least touch on that when it does start. I can tell a little bit more, but that's coming at any rate. So
great.
All right. Well, you guys talk about what do you got, the 100?
We got the 100, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, well, enjoy the rest of your night, and I will talk to you next week, okay?
All right, you too. Take care, Jamie. Have a good week.
Okay, you guys too.
Bye.
Good night, Jamie.
Bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
All right, this is episode 3 of the 100 this week. AJ,
yes.
How are you feeling about this episode?
I have some
real problems with this episode. I have real problems with the writers and what they wrote in this episode. There was a couple things to really like, but I really, really, 3 episodes and no Bellamy is starting to really bother me. It's the last season and he's like the male lead and one of the best characters. And Clark was also largely sidelined in this episode. Now I do consider like Murphy and Raven, I mean, they're original characters from the first episode, and I'm interested in them, but I'm not really down with no Bellamy, almost no Clark. Maddie just sits in the backyard with a golden retriever all the time. I'm watching a show that this week, most of the action was Russell and Jordan, who's just the worst character. I cannot believe that they made Monty such a horrible character. There's just so much going on that I don't like. While I think it's ridiculous that somehow, the part about the reactor, we should talk about how the reactor came to suddenly break down this week. I did sort of like, I always liked John and Amori, and there was the Raven business, which I felt one way about it, and then the next day I felt a different way about it after I sat on it for a while. So I wonder what you thought about. As I watched it, I was like, this is really out of character for Raven. This is not who Raven is. Raven is like a moral conscience on the show who's always bitching at like Bellamy and Clark because of all the people who die all the time, and then she totally just lies to these guys and condemns them to death without even like giving them a chance to do the right thing, without even trying, and I felt like this is out of character for her. And then, you know, I started to come around to it that while it did appear kind of abrupt, like, this is the first time Raven has had to, like, sacrifice people for the greater good of her people, right? Like Raven was able to be high and mighty about the moral decisions Clark made because Raven's never had to make one, really. And I came around to the idea that, like, Raven finally is having to make this kind of decision, and you know, would that make her understand better what people like Clark and Bellamy and others have done? I guess I just wish maybe it wasn't, like, played out over, like, a problem of the week. Like, you know, there's, like, always a problem of the week on, not always, but often there's a problem of the week on the 100. And so it felt a little abrupt to me, but I came around to it, I think. Maybe. I don't know.
I was similar. Something I'm doing this season, I kind of touched on it previous week, about it, but I'm not focusing on not giving us. I'm on the show for what they are giving us.
AJ, you got a little muffle in your mic. Sorry. It might be your headset or something.
Am I good now?
Yeah, it's not great. Go ahead, talk. I'll make it out. Oh, perfect. You sound fantastic.
So
you were saying about Raven and how you felt about Raven and
that you feel a little bit from every he's separated from. Yeah, we've got two storylines going. I'm not okay because I really don't want to have to hate watching another season. So
yeah,
I'm just. I'm either going to enjoy or hate what's on the screen and not. My favorite part of the episode is when Raven's talking about the reactor, and Clark says that she says I'll do it, and at the same time, and everybody looks at me like like that's the question, you know?
Yeah, Murphy's like she'll do it.
And he's so right. He's not wrong. You know, and that's the thing about John. John might be an asshole and maybe the wrong choice to start with at times. But he sees things like nobody else does. And Raven. Even Raven, that was my other favorite part, was John gets such a bad rap. But I mean Raven was a little ruthless in that episode. Like he said, yeah, I agree. It was a little uncharacteristic. I think it because I thought it was a part of her that was like, you know what? I'm sending murderers to their death. You know, I think that was kind of played into it a little bit. And like you said, I think she finally understands Bellamy and Clark have understood for a long time now. But when she left John in there and she says, you're good at saving your ass, now go be a cockroach.
Yeah.
I was like,
I guess it bothered me. I'm sorry. It bothered me the way Raven seemed to approach the Allegius prisoners as though they have no value, they're completely disposable as human beings. And she never, I'm pretty sure if you told someone, listen, if you don't help me right now, the reactor's going to blow up the entire planet and we're all dead, like, maybe he'd be like, okay, I'll help you, right? The way she assumed from the jump he won't help her, assumed, condemned them to death, and then for her to suddenly start crying and be like, I did this, I'm like, well, you didn't do it by accident. Like, it was your total plan all along to sacrifice them. And that she just saw them as having no worth. And then Hatch goes on to say that really all he did was a bank robbery, and he didn't really do anything. It was Nikki who killed everyone, but there were no witnesses, so he went down for it along with her, right? And he knows he's going to die, and he keeps working, right? Like, he turns out to be, like, not an irredeemable person. And
yeah,
it is a little bit, it's a little bit, right? It's a little bit unfair of this show to redeem Dioza in a completely unearned manner and then to have everyone else from Allegis positioned as worthless, right? And horrible. So
yeah, I think I got the feeling Hatch knew all along, especially
yeah.
after went down. This wasn't as simple as Raven. And part of it too, though, I think I kind of feel like it happened midway. Like I think things were worse than Raven thought they were going to be. They'll just get sick, and then I
yeah.
think after the first day went down, she realized, oh crap. And made the choice at that moment to, which
yeah,
I too would have liked if she at least gave it the choice. Like you said, hey, we're all gonna die.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, Nikki knew also because Nikki refused to go, right? now I guess part of the reason this happened. So I wanted to ask you, like, do you think the reactor failure was sort of a MacGuffin that, like, they just needed a problem to kill off a couple of Allegis people to set the next stage in motion? Or do you think maybe somebody's messed with the reactor and that's why it broke? I don't have an answer to that. I was wondering if you've thought of it.
Well, let's put it this way. Given what the writers have been doing to us, it's a plot device for what comes next.
I think so, too. I think it's a plot device because we need the Allegis. So we already saw this week that, I mean, Clark is, they're making Clark, so Clark has been such a great heroine, and they made her so dumb. The way she attacked Russell last week was dumb and out of character. And the way this week, you know,
yeah.
so they set things in motion so that she can't kill Russell, right? But the... You know, I feel like a lot of people were dumb. Gaia was dumb this week. Like, Gaia, more than anyone, understands the power of faith and religion and having a leader. And, you know, she decides she's got to tell everyone there's no commander. I mean, probably because Clark's being a jerk and Clark's like, no, I won't. I don't know why Clark suddenly is like, I won't have Maddie. Maddie's like, I mean, she's practically grown now.
Yeah.
And Clark is being a very, she's being... almost more protective than Abby was back in the day, and that she won't have Maddie go along with it. So Gaia's like, what? And, you know, and Indra is like, I'm telling you, do not tell Sky Crew that there's no commander. And Gaia is like, I'm going to tell them. Which is crazy. Like, Gaia understands more than... Gaia gave up her whole life to the flame, to be a flame keeper, and now
yeah.
she's going to, like, tell Guan Crew there's no flame? It was stupid,
well,
right? And so, of course... all of Wong Crew is like, whatever. I think Wong Crew is going to follow in line behind. When they realize that Russell is Shed Hata, they're going to go with Shed Hata.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually thought that was going to happen. I completely agree. I thought that was going to happen. That was my first thought. I'm surprised it didn't happen already. I thought, you know, when Russell came out for his speech and everything, I thought for sure that it was going to be him telling them, I am shit, you know, he's the one crew, I'm Shed Hata, I have entered this body, blah, 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 whatever, join me, and
yeah.
I thought the shit was going to hit the fan. I still think it's going to happen, just what
yeah.
I thought was going to happen.
Yes, now I think it's dumb. I don't care about Shed Hata, and I think it's dumb that he's somehow, we talked about this,
well,
how did he get into the computer, how did this happen? It's dumb, right? I want him gone.
Well, I agree. I hate the whole Shed Hata thing. We hated it the minute it started. But
yes.
That's why another smart character did something out of character.
Another smart character acted out of... Who are you talking about?
Gaia.
Oh, Gaia. Yeah, that's why Gaia had to act dumb. Yeah, that's why Gaia had to... She wouldn't listen to Indra. It was so dumb for her to... look, so much of this season is dumb. Like, this whole bit where they moved into, like, a colonial-looking, like, a normal American house, and they're sitting around drinking tea. Actually, you know, and they're like having a dog, and someone actually said 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Isn't it the year like 2500?
Yeah.
Right? And they're like these people have not, like, I mean, the young people have never lived on Earth. They were born in space, right? All of Sky Crew was born
right.
in space. And, like, no one ever says, who's Columbus? What are you talking about? Like, I mean, it's a little annoying to see, like, but, yeah, Gaia acted dumb, but it's because they need an excuse to have Wong Crew line up behind, behind, they're going to go with Shade Hedda in the person of Russell.
Yeah.
So he's going to have, I wish the nuclear reactor would go off and blow up Sanctum, because Sanctum is the worst, right? And they're just going to trade one cult for another cult in a way. Like, everyone's in a cult, right?
Yeah.
Like, the Primes are a cult, and the Sons of Gabriel are a cult, and Wong Crew is kind of a cult, and these guys that wear the masks and go back and forth through the anomaly, they're another, like, faction.
We
have a leader
that
we don't know what that is, but they're another. So we have all these people who can't get along, right? But I feel like Russell. I feel like what happened is Shadehead is gonna get, he's gonna get the Prime lovers, and he's gonna get Wong Crew, and maybe when Octavia comes back, Wong Crew will follow her. I don't know. She's still pretty disgraced, right? Like I don't know how you come back from making everybody turn into cannibals.
I don't know.
But, like, that's still there, but there's all this mess, and is it horrible for me to say, like, hope Jordan might get killed? Because Jordan is the dumbest character on the whole show, maybe, right?
I hate Jordan.
Like, why does Jordan walk around trusting everyone all the time and then be like, my father, Monty? And then nobody yells at him because he mentioned Monty's name. But, like, he's so dumb. He has done nothing but trust everyone who is not, like, he was raised on the stories of Clark and Bellamy, and all he does is trust people who are not Sky Crew.
Yeah. And speaking of Clark, that was something this week, you know, at the end of the day, Clark finally gets it, you know? Like, you know, it's what we've been saying. It's like everywhere they go, they do the same shit. So I think, you know, Clark wants to change it and really, you know, it's just, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I didn't hate the episode. I liked a lot of it. I hate the Russell stuff. Him, you know, with him being, what to call it, Shed Hate, I think he's absolutely retarded. So stupid.
That's gotta go. That's gotta end.
That's a big story this year. That's the overlying story. I think everybody's gonna actually have to band together to get rid of them. But you know, it's just so
shit,
Ada. All you gotta do is just take the chip out and smash it on the ground.
So I didn't know. I don't really, you know, I don't dive into comment sections and like forums for the show like I did in the Lost Days or whatever. So I did not know until today that there are apparently a ton of fans shipping Murphy and Raven. And apparently they got very excited when it looked like Amori might, not that they don't like Amori, right? Not that they don't like Amori, but when it looked like Amori might die. And there are people that ship those two, and there apparently are people that shipped the three of them as a threesome or a thruple, that Raven should be, you know, that like when she walked in on them and they were, you know, in their, you know, Murphy has no shirt on.
Oh, yeah.
Amori's in
that
pajamas.
Funny.
They've just woken up. They're starting to make out, and Raven walks in and he's like, God, you've been walking on us for 6 years in the ring. And it was kind of funny. And I appreciate how they found Murphy's arc is maybe, you know, one of the top two character arcs on this show. And I like where he and Raven are. But I don't ship those two together, and I don't see that happening. I think he and Amori are clearly very much in love.
Oh, yeah. I don't either. But as far as where it started from, I can see way back in season one, there was definitely something that could have developed between the two of them.
I could
have definitely seen something back in the day. Definitely not now.
Yeah.
You and I aren't people that watch this show for shipping. Anyway,
we don't watch most
of the shows going, oh, I can't wait for this person to get together, you know?
Mm.
I'm sure there's shows that we both do watch that that's what it's about, but these aren't the type of shows we talk on Fandom Access, you know? It's like, I mentioned to you and Jamie in text messages that I finally started watching Lost Girl, and there's a part of me that wishes I had watched Lost Girl when you guys did, because, oh my God, poor Kenzie.
Yeah.
I want poor Kenzie to find a man. Jesus Christ, poor Kenzie.
Holy crap,
everybody else is getting lucky except for Kenzie.
So I have to say, when I was reading that people apparently are shipping Mervin, whatever they're calling them, start to think about Gaia and Clark, who are living together, but really in a co-parenting situation, which is a little weird because I'm not sure I ever really saw Gaia as a parent figure to Maddie when she was the commander. But anyway, they're sort of co-parenting Maddie together, and I thought, like, do I see that as a parallel to Dioza and Octavia co-parenting Hope, or do I see Gaia and Clark maybe? I mean, ever since Finn, Clark has only had relations with women on this show, right? She was in love with Finn when she was a child, and then it was Alexa,
yeah.
And then what's her name, the blonde tree
yeah.
person,
still
and, you know. Yes, yes. Blondie's still around, and Clark has mostly had female relationships since Finn, and like,
true.
Like, could it go there? Maybe. I have to say, I mean, okay, and as much as you and I are not shippers, I also, in season 7, don't waste my time with that. Like, I don't think that
right.
Clark needs to have a partner to be complete. I think when she became a mother, she sort of complete, like, I think she found a level of personal, she became settled in a way. Not that she's not ever going to have a romantic partner, but that's not what I need to see from Clark in season 7. I need to see Clark lead her people
yeah.
to stop having to kill everyone all the time and just find a place to live.
Yeah. I mean, the co-parenting thing, I don't think there's any, I don't see any type of spark. If there's a pond there, they're not doing a good job with it. But I don't see any type of spark or any type of anything between Clark and we don't even, you know, Gaia has never had a thing with the other, so we don't even know which way she swings.
Well, that's true. Because Gaia was a person, she was like basically a priestess.
I was going to say, she's a nun.
Yeah, she's basically a nun. You're right. She's a nun. Devoted herself to her faith. You know what I would rather see? So I can't believe that when I watched this episode, I kind of was wondering what was happening to Octavia in the anomaly. And like as much as I don't really care for Dioza or even really Hope, I was like wondering what's going on with that storyline. And I was also thinking, I really wish that I could see what Bellamy's going through. Like when Bellamy got kidnapped, like I would rather than seeing, like, I don't care how Hope was raised. I don't really give a shit about like what happened to Hope when she was a little kid and what happened to Dioza. I care about Octavia, but I'd like to see through Bellamy's eyes. Now I guess we'll get that. But sidelining Bob Morley is pissing me off.
Well, you know what, though? There's a reason, but we are getting 16 episodes, so I can kind of understand some of the back filler, you know, getting the Hope's background storyline. I mean, knowing Hope's backstory might pay off down the road. You know, and it does a little bit because at least it actually helps to the point of her and Octavia's relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess I feel like a little exposition, like two scenes of exposition could have covered it, maybe. But maybe it'll pay off. Like, maybe they really need us to see, I mean, I guess we needed to see Octavia. Octavia's, like, journey of redemption was still on, like, we have to remember, like, Octavia, like, you know, that Bellamy had basically left her for dead. And not basically, he did in fact leave her for dead, and it's through these couple of episodes that she's able to write that note and say, Bellamy, I get it, I get why you did it, I don't blame you, right? It's hard, you know, it's been so long since the last season, and really since two seasons ago, like, Octavia didn't have a huge arc last season compared to what she has in the past, right? And so I guess,
right.
I mean, I guess she needed this to, I don't know, she still did eat human flesh. but she did what she had to do, right? That's the theme of this, Clark's never stops. Clark says that all the time. I did what I have to do.
Yeah.
Whatever it does to you. I mean, that's. I don't think what Raven went through is the same, but they were trying to give Raven a little taste of what Octavia, you know, and Octavia hates herself now. Octavia became a really self-loathing, like a big part of Octavia's drama of the last two seasons really was how much she came to like hate herself and not like she's another one who loved to criticize. Like when she was just a foot soldier, she had a lot to say. Then she became a leader and she began to hate herself.
A reluctant leader.
Yeah. Yeah. until she became a dictator. Until she became
Jack.
A dictator. Oh yeah.
Hey. Oh my God. Which it was. Shoot, I forgot which. Oh no, it was definitely. It was definitely 100. We either live
yes,
together.
Yes, I know.
Or die
I know
apart.
What you're gonna say. Yes, yes.
We live
who said that? Someone said.
I was like, no, they didn't. If they
yes,
said,
rough.
If they said die alone, I would have lost it. But they said die apart. So they did change it a little, but I was like, no, they did
yeah.
not.
I think they said die apart on purpose. I caught that also. In fact, I posted it in one of our lost groups on Facebook. I posted, like, did Russell just say we either live together or we die apart? And I think they wrote die apart together. Like, I think they're well aware that that's a lost quote, and they changed the line by one word. They have to be, right? There's no way the writers of that show didn't watch Lost and are not aware that that's an iconic line from the
even
show that made the 100
Lost.
Possible.
Even if you didn't watch Lost, you know that line came from a popular show.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
one of those things where
yeah.
you may not know the source, but you know we'll always have Paris.
Yeah.
Came from something important.
Yeah. Yeah. When Russell said that, or really Shane Hedda said that. So actually, let me ask you. So I guess I don't want to belabor the whole because I hate Shane Hedda so much and want him to go away. But
yes, me
so
too.
We saw that inside Russell's mind, Shade had killed Russell, right?
Yeah.
So, do you think that Russell's really gone, or
yeah.
he can come back? Like we saw Maddie not be killed, but be subjugated. We saw Clark go through this. We've seen people have their mind taken over, and then it happens every show. Someone's like, "I know you're in there. I know you're in there, Russell. Just fight it, right?"
No.
Like, do you?
Clark,
you think he's dead? Dead?
Yes. And Clark is the only one that was ever not dead as soon as the shit happened. Like everybody else with the mind drive, as soon as somebody else went in there, it wiped out the other one. So I think Russell's a wrap.
All right, because I guess Maddie fought him, but Maddie was never really killed inside the mind drive.
Well, no, but see, it was different with the commanders. The commanders, they were a shared consciousness.
Yeah.
But with
yeah.
but with what they
okay,
were doing
point.
On Sanctum, it was all or nothing.
Yeah. I was just wondering what you thought about that. And I have one other thing to say about I mean, you and I both hated the Shade Hater storyline since it started. But one thing that is really bothering me right now is that he suddenly became a cool and calculated. Like, Shade Hater was this violent, loud, screaming, threatening person the entire time that he was inside Maddie, right? And now he's so cool and patient and slick and sly, and I'm just like, wait, he was never really a character, but this is out. This is not his character, right? Like, how did he become so patient and interesting? Because when he was in Maddie's body, he was always like, Clark, I'll kill you.
And that guy, one guy from one crew, when, you know, when Gaia tells him that they got rid of the web drive because of Shaheda, they were like, you destroyed Shaheda, he was our greatest leader ever. It's like, since when?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he was feared by most people.
Yeah, everyone keeps saying that he was a horrible, frightening, terrible person.
I would say Lexa is your greatest leader ever.
Yes.
At least since I've been watching the show.
Yes. Yeah, Lexa's the greatest ever, and Indra's the second greatest ever.
Indra was not a commander.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Juan Hata was great. You know, when Clark was Juan Hata, she was great. But
She was never a commander.
I know. She was never a commander. He's become like, this is like a totally different Shaheda all of a sudden. And I'm sure that will never be explained either. But that's all right. That's all right. You know, I want to go back to what you said earlier in our conversation, and I should try to be more like you, because you said you don't want to hate watch the season and you want to just like try to accept it and enjoy it and move on with your life, right? And not let it bother you. So I'm going to try to do that also.
Yeah, cause like I said, I mean, the few positive moments made it bearable. Like, the Murphy and Raven stuff in the episode was, I thought, so pretty good. Kind of shadow the bad stuff. I mean, anything with Russell and Shaheda is going to be bad. We know this. Anything with Jordan is going to be bad. So I kind of try and like do other things while they're on the screen, like pay attention enough to know what's going on, but not enough attention that it's going to drive me crazy.
Yep. I mean. And you're right. We have, you know, enjoyed the show. You know, I have a young friend, my friend Jamie. She's a different friend, Jamie. She's like 21 years old. And she was saying to me, you like some of the same shows. Like, you like a lot of good shows. What should I watch? And I was thinking, God, should I recommend The 100? Like, it was so good in the beginning. And then it got kind of bad, but we love it enough to keep with it. And I have faith in it. And I feel like, yes, this is a show that I still want to recommend to people.
Well, you know, it's funny. Before we started hating the show, I wanted Artie to get caught. I loved it. I mean, every week I used to be like, oh, my God, this show is so amazing. It's one of my favorite shows. And before we started to hate it, the season that we started to hate it, I was trying to get Artie to get caught up before the new season started so he and I could watch it together. And then we got about halfway through the season, and I told him, I was like, you can keep watching if you want, but... And he's like, I'd be watching the episode, and he'd hear me, and he's like, you should watch... He goes, I don't know if I want to watch this. Because he heard me yell at all the time, like, what the hell? Oh, my God. You know?
Yeah.
So it's just...
You shout at the TV.
You know? But you know what the funny thing about it is? It's one of those shows, the very first season we said, how long does it have? Here we are in season 7 going, thank God it's in there. Because I don't remember if you said it, but I know I said at the beginning of the season, last season, that I was done, and then I heard it was the final season, and I was like, all right, screw it. I'm going to watch season 7.
for one more season.
It pretty much lost its way after season 4.
Yes, like I would say season 5 was when they went into the bunker, right? Season 5 was when they went in the bunker and things got bad, yeah.
Yep.
It lost its way when they lost their way with Octavia. But, you know, they have a chance
it started,
to...
It started out okay, but, I mean, I remember by, like, episode 3, I'm like, we need a backstory here because what the hell happened to Octavia? I mean, she didn't want to be the leader, and now I hate her. I'm like, how did they ruin her?
Yeah, and, you know, of course, a big part of the show is about, you know, the burden of leadership, and, you know, they're supposed to be children, really, still not children, but young people. They're not. I actually read an interview today with Marie. I can't pronounce her name. Her long, Marie Avrogopoulos. But the actress who plays Octavia, and she mentioned that she was 24 when she started, and she's 33 now. And she looks like she's 33. And there's nothing against. I'm not complaining about that. But they were all under 18 when they were sent to the ground, right?
Especially Octavia, she was even younger because she was younger than Bellamy.
Yeah, so she was like maybe like 15 when she went to the ground, which would, you know, which would put her around like 22 now. If every season was a year, which it's not, but if every season was a year, she'd be at the most 22 right now. And so it's easier for me to like think about all these mistakes they've made when I think like they were kids put in these positions, right? I mean, it's kind of a thing that we've lost a little bit on the show, that this was always about young people going down and have, I mean, one of the great things in seasons like 2 and 3 was like when the adults came down from the Ark and the kids were the leaders and the kids were like, listen, we've been living here.
Yeah.
So don't tell us what to do. So I don't know where I'm going with that, but, you know, I think there's a chance still to have, I mean, there were things not to like, but it's okay. And I think they can still end on a good note if we could like Sanctum.
I agree.
Like, I almost would like to see them leave. I would almost like to see them leave the planet and like, can they go live on that prison planet and just, can we just forget about Sanctum where everybody lives in a house that looks like it's from 1997? And drink tea and
yeah, but if they go and live on Beta, they still got to kill the people on the planet there.
Well, yeah, if there's anyone on the planet, and that's really what this season is about, right? Like that I think is the main conflict of the season. I think I'd like to think that the five or six basically cults that are living in Sanctum will somehow they will all like learn to get along soon, because I guess they'll have to unite against these time dimension traveling guys. I don't know. So it's interesting. This was episode 3, and has anybody ever said, hey, where's Bellamy? Like, no one's wondering where Bellamy and Echo are? Have they not been missed?
No. No, because it's time. Been like 3 days. They know where Bellamy went. Actually, well, no, it's picking up from last season. But even then, they knew that he was. But they knew he was with Gabriel.
The sons of Gabriel don't seem to really worry about Gabriel too much.
I mean. But, you know,
that's the thing, though.
I know before I said we have 16 episodes, but here it is, episode 3. Clark, Bellamy, and Octavia are all separated. Like, it's not even, like, two of them together. It's none of them.
Yeah.
Like, they're all individual.
Yeah, I don't. One reason not to like that is because I just think Clark is so much better when she's with Bellamy. And I don't mean that as a shipper. I mean as best friends, right? As best friends and as leaders. Yes. And he's like he grounds her morally. Like he has a very clear, he had his own bad side, like amoral route when he like shot Link and then, like, he shot Lincoln and then he was like a bad guy for a while.
Yeah, that was that other guy.
Yeah. But he was part of that, right? He didn't shoot him himself, but that was Pace or Pate or whatever that guy's name was.
Pike,
but
shoot him.
Yeah.
Pike.
I mean, he had his own dark path, but Clark is so much better with him by her side, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
She makes better decisions with him. Like, they clearly are the co-leaders of this group of people. So I don't ship them. I think he's in love with Echo. I'm not totally down with that, but I do believe that he's in love with Echo. And I don't ship them because I don't see a romantic thing between them. As much as she meets him and she hugs, you know, they're always hugging and they like miss each other and whatever, but it's as like two best friends.
They're brother and sister.
Right.
Like a thing.
Yes, they are. They are. I'd like to see them
with Bellamy. Mm-hmm. Another person him and Echo are. I'm fine with them. The only other person I could have seen him possibly ever getting together with on the show was Raven. Like, I never for 1 minute thought Bellamy and Clark were ever going to get romantically involved. Never felt that way. Him and Echo had a moment where I thought something could happen. But it just never did.
Oh, yeah. No, he and Echo are together now. You mean him and
Raven?
Oh, you said Echo. You thought Raven in your head, but you said Echo.
I meant Raven.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But
him and Clark never. That was never going to happen.
Yeah. No. I see it end with Bellamy and Clark together in the sense that they are together in a peaceful place where they can, like, shake off what they've been through and just be best friends and co-leaders or whatever.
President,
vice president. Yeah. 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 So we'll see. This is only this is 3. We have 13 to go. By the way, I read, against my better judgment, I clicked something that said, like, spoilers for episode 4. And then I read it, and it was the most bullshit, not spoiler story ever that basically was about, like, it was basically, like, you know, the network puts out a description of next week's episode, which is, like, Clark tries to find someone who's missing. You know, like that kind of a thing. It was like total baloney. So like you, I hope that they will bring our characters back together again. Like, we don't want to watch a final season where Octavia and Clark and Bellamy are not together until the back third, right?
Right.
They seem together soon, so we'll see. And with any luck, Shade Hader will die soon. I have read, and this is really not a spoiler, I have read that Shade Hader is not the big bad of the season.
It can't be.
That's not a spoiler, because
it can't be
horrible.
The big bad, because how much trouble can he cause?
Yeah, he can't be the big bad, because we know that Bardo, those guys from Bardo, are the big bad of the season, obviously. So we'll see where that goes.
Oh, God, I just had a terrible thought.
What?
Could Shade Hader actually end up helping them defeat Bardo?
I hope not. I think Shade Hader is a bad... I thought Shade Hader was a bad storyline last season, right?
Uh-huh.
And I think it's even a worse storyline now. Because it also perpetuates the Sanctum and the Primes, which is horrible and needs to go. And it really bothers me that the people of Sanctum are so stupid that they just continue to worship Russell even after it's been revealed. Like, he's basically the man behind the curtain. Like, when the Wizard of Oz is revealed to be that little man behind the curtain, except worse, because he hasn't been killing, at least the Wizard of Oz didn't kill people for 200 years. But the people of Sanctum are so dumb that I kind of want them to be wiped. Like, they need to be wiped out, right? Like, I'm sorry, but people that are dumb are not the future of humanity, I hope.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. That needs to all go. So. All
right. Well,
all right.
I think we've nailed this week.
We thoroughly discussed it. Yep. I'm not watching anything else of any interest. So we'll do these same two next week, I guess. 2, 3, we'll do a little bit of Roswell, do these two shows, And
yep.
Until then, take it easy, stay safe, have a good week. To you and everyone else out there.
Sounds like a plan. Until next week,
folks. Right.
AJ and Karen signing off.
All right. Good night.